You're listening to episode 90 of the FitsPro podcast, and today's conversation is actually one that is echoing another conversation I had on someone else's podcast, and that is the topic of post-pandemic or post-Rona fitness for both the fitness professionals as well as the trainees, and kind of what are some expectations we can have moving forward? What will that look like? I know that for a lot of people, it looks the same as it did before the pandemic, but it's not, is it? So that is the conversation that we're having today, and hopefully that applies to all of us because we are either coaches or trainees. So without further ado, let's dive in. The FitsPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitsPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitsPro. Ahoy there. As usual, make sure that you are checking the show notes as well as Annie's weekly wrap to see if you were the reviewer of the week or the listener of the month. That is listed both in the show notes and in Annie's weekly wrap. If you are not subscribed to that yet, what even are you doing? Subscribe at anniemiller.co/news. It's that easy. You get all my favorites from the week so you don't miss out on anything. And there's podcast listener discounts as well. So anniemiller.co/news. Get on Annie's weekly wrap so you can know if you're the listener of the week or the month. If you haven't left a review, stop listening. Go leave a review. Anyway, moving on. I discussed the topic of post-Rona fitness as a guest on Daniel Hong's podcast, so which should be out by the time that I air this, but I thought that I'd echo that here on my own show because I think there are great takeaways for you, my audience, whether you are a fitness professional or a trainee. While fitness definitely changed for my clients and myself during different stages of quarantine due to the pandemic, it is mostly going back to normal for us, for myself and my clients, the majority of. By normal, I mean that we are all somehow, some way getting our hands on a barbell or a heavy kettlebell, heavy weights of some kind. Now, that looks like garage gyms, dining room benches set up, you know, between two stools, outdoor facilities, and of course, some of us are back in the gyms for the time being. So when I say normal, I don't mean the same as pre-pandemic times. And that's an important distinction to make. I think this topic is nuanced and very individual to each person, their life, their circumstances, and so many factors outside of just, is the gym open? Most of my clientele are affluent, have held their jobs, have a supporting partner, or have found work during the last 6 months, and that's important context to understand. And they have, you know, they place an extremely high value on their relationship with exercise. They find joy in the gym, or better yet, and more accurate, with the barbell. So that has proven to be one of the last things that they, being my clients, are willing to give up, which I think is pretty freaking awesome, personally. And I feel the same in my own life. But there's also privilege in that. Right? So I would hate to have this episode be from a standpoint that everyone everywhere can just build a garage gym or pay for, you know, one-on-one in-person socially distanced personal training sessions. That's certainly not the case, and it will not be the takeaway from this podcast, I hope. What I do wish to ponder is how people in different scenarios can move forward with movement into 2021. From both the trainer and the trainee perspective. We will start with the coaches and the health and fitness professionals and then discuss the clientele perspective after that, which I am actually really excited about because I feel that from both sides. I think trainers are feeling both of those, right? We are trainees ourselves, most of us. We enjoy movement. We take our own lifts seriously or our own training seriously, as well as we are also trainers and fitness and health professionals in this field. So I specialize in online coaching. I have never owned a brick and mortar because I didn't desire the headache that comes with starting, running, and owning one. I watched my friend, past boss, and now branding photographer do it for 10 plus years for a competitive cheerleading gym. And quite frankly, it was a hard pass for me. I was like, nope. Don't want to deal with any of that. So with that, I recognize that many of you may have owned or at least worked at a brick and mortar facility before the pandemic, before March of 2020. And you're likely trying to figure out your future as we speak. That's a huge deal. It's serious. But also, it's kind of awesome. You have a lot of possibilities and opportunities ahead of you. And I think that, you know, despite it being a pandemic, a lot of cool stuff has come out of it for a lot of people. And I think it's both and, right? I don't think it's one or the other. First off, brick and mortars aren't gone. You can have one. Whatever you decide to do, you'll need to be ready to adapt and pivot when needed. I say that meaning forever. Be ready and open to pivot and adjust when needed. It is no secret that those who could adapt and pivot during the last 6 months did well and may even be thriving right now. So, for trainers who were in person before, we have a few questions to ask. Did you want to transition online? Hi, you've had the last 6 months to start the process. I'm not saying you should have a full-fledged business right now, but it's been half a year, bro. Have we moved to the online space at all? Not build a whole freaking business from scratch, but to at least begin building your presence and platform in the online space. Have we done that? Do you want to work with people in person as your main gig? Some people are like, look, online is cool. I get the appeal of it, but I really am an in-person person. If that's the case, then you've had the last 6 months to brainstorm ways to make that happen. I have watched several trainers who work solely with people in person host the same style class via Zoom. Get paid through PayPal, make an email list, maybe set up a Facebook group community, and keep on keeping on. Boom, right? Not the same, but better than nothing. Better than nothing. That's scalable to some extent, and certainly still enough accountability for your clients. You can see them, they have to show up, you can hear them, there's interaction, you have to coach them. Of course, there are limitations as far as equipment and you actually being there able to touch and cue them, but still, it's way better than nothing and could easily hold you over for a few months. Next up, hello outdoor boot camps, yoga classes, lifting sessions. These all existed pre-Rona, by the way. People have been hosting outdoor fitness forever. Limitations here are equipment and weather. That's the biggest one I see heading into winter here in the Pacific Northwest. Fitness is about to have to be indoors for the most part, and that is absolutely a limiting factor. This is a step up from Zoom classes. The live aspect is now added back into these. If you're currently doing one, but not the other, as in Zoom, but not live, or live, but not Zoom, I suggest you be open to both moving into this new season. Another option moving forward is to create kind of a hybrid of group fitness and online training. Essentially, this would be transitioning to all online, but that doesn't mean you can't go back to in-person training, by the way. Or perhaps you'll end up doing both, right? You could maximize both of these. Without diving in too deep to that, you need to first determine what you were good at before the Rona, and be real and creative about how you can translate that into the online space. Were you great at programming, at creating and thriving in community, at movement analysis and coaching, at the motivational piece? You're that coach who is like the client's number one fan, cheerleader, motivator. You know how to get inside people's head. Did you specialize in something? Then look at how that can be presented in the online space. If you were good at educating, make resources, short form, long form, a client portal of some kind, videos, get that shit out into the world. Get it into the online space. If you are a specialist of some kind, then create a program for a specific niche and begin pumping out content in said specialization like a madwoman. If you are the master of creating community, you're a connector, then create one, but online. Facebook groups. Create a Facebook community, Unity, live workouts, daily workouts that everyone posts. How can your expertise in person be translated into the online space? If you are the movement analysis queen, start making movement content, videos, or do's and don'ts, and begin showing just how valuable your help could be to weightlifters or people moving at home during the pandemic. Right? Those who transitioned well into the online space are those who are willing to fail and learn. And those who transfer their gifts well from in person to the internet. And lastly, if you're great at looking for gaps, do that. This will behoove you during and well after this pandemic in general. It's a skill you should learn. Identifying gaps and filling them is what great entrepreneurs do. And shoot, maybe you even realize through this time that you're not an entrepreneur. Right? And you need to work for someone else. There is no shame there. Still, it's beneficial to identify your gifts and then apply where you believe you'd add value to a team, perhaps. This is not a one-size-fits-all thing. I am just encouraging people to ask how this can work for them. So let's say you could be amazing for corporations. Where are people still employed? How can you and your expertise serve those communities? Perhaps you have a course or even a boot camp that a corporation would pay for on behalf of their employees. Daniel talks about doing this. He's working with apartment complexes moving forward. This looks good for the corporation and it can pay well. I have several one-on-one business clients who work with corporations, and corporate wellness has been a thing for years. Again, we don't have to reinvent the wheel during this time. There were tons of things that were happening before the pandemic that people just weren't optimizing and are very, very relevant now and moving forward. So maybe now is your time. This is particularly great if you're good at networking. Generally speaking, look for places of stability and then fill a gap if you can. Maybe for a short time, maybe for a bright future in long term. I will say that I don't think that this will last forever, as in the current state of, for us, the United States as a whole. I do think that gyms and boxes will open, and much of what used to be will return to the way that it was. But for a fair amount of people, it won't. And that's where we want to keep options open. And I think if you have learned anything from this pandemic, it is there. I mean, there's so many things, but the ability to adapt and remain steadfast in times of scarcity, in times of uncertainty, is a definite skill. And I think that it's one that benefits many people in many different areas of life. So now for the client trainee perspective. I know that this has not been easy for you. Unless literally nothing changed, there have been challenges since March of 2020, over 6 months now. And that I feel confident saying. I've seen a few things come to fruition over the past 6 months with my own clients and truly with myself. One is that we value movement more than we knew before, and specifically the barbell. Movement is great, but we find joy, like giddy, childish joy, in the barbell. It's almost embarrassing, but It's been a common theme as my clients have been reunited with the barbell, whether that is at a gym, or I would say probably 50% of my one-on-one clients anyway have purchased a barbell and are building an at-home gym in their garage. Two is that there is power in having a separate place to exercise and move, a dedicated space. The gym being the most obvious here, it provides a change of scenery. You get there and you have one clear purpose. There is no getting distracted with the house chores or the couch. Even creating a space in your home or on your patio or in your garage can be monumental in improving your adherence to workouts if you aren't back at the gym yet. Make a designated workout space if possible, and I recognize that not everyone can do that. But that goes for now and beyond the pandemic restrictions. Third is the mental health piece, and that is so real. So real. And a form of movement that you enjoy is very good for your mental health. I cannot stress this enough. Even just going for walks has been huge for Nathaniel and I. I didn't have access to a barbell or gym for 7 months. January 12th was my last lift, right? Before gyms opened here, 4 weeks ago now, and I had access to it. But Nate and I went on 2 walks per day, sometimes 3. And strangely, that did really big things for me. It provided a constant, dependable event in my day, not to mention an opportunity to leave the house to breathe fresh air to increase some circulation. With that, I will say that shifting your expectations can be magical and freeing and even motivating. Practice. Early on in the quarantine, this looked like working on new skills for a lot of my clients and myself, like working on pistol squats or handstand positions, maybe shifting to a more cardio-based goal. Now it might be shifting back into strength, but from a very atrophied state. Whatever your situation, I encourage you to look at your expectations and change them if needed, because you can count on your expectations driving your reactions to outcomes and your current state. You have control over a lot more than you give yourself credit for. That really goes for trainers and trainees alike. And that, you know, this might sound a little like a tough love episode when I say, you know, what have you been doing for the last 6 months? It's not to say that I disregard any hardships. I do recognize that. I'm also saying, what's the plan for the future? That's what I want people to look at. So again, you have more control than you give yourself credit for. Take credit. When you get real with what you could be changing in your life, you begin to realize that it's a lot. I am not here to shame you or pretend that you can change it all at once, nor change it overnight. I am simply challenging you to take a step forward where you can, where it's feasible, one step at a time. And shifting expectations can be helpful, you know, can be a helpful piece of that. They work together, shifting expectations and owning what you have control over. So from both the perspective of the trainer and the trainee, this will be beneficial. What do you expect from the next 6 months? From your business, from the industry, from yourself, from your training? I don't know. Only you have those answers. But I do think it's worth looking into if you're currently unsatisfied with any of these areas or anything else for that matter. All in all, I think that we will see a shift to the online space as the pandemic in America lets up and things, you know, quote unquote, return to normal. I am excited to see what professionals do with fitness moving forward, how they show up, innovate for the future. Garage gyms are booming, and so are online platforms. Globo gyms aren't going anywhere. Neither are CrossFit boxes, Orange Theory, or other group fitness arenas. I don't think those are disappearing. I think that there might be a shift away from them for a time by a percentage of people. But like I said, even those will have to adapt moving forward. And I think it's worth asking, how can the online space work for us, even if you are in an in-person facility? I know at my local Gold's, everything has simply improved from a service standpoint. The facility is even cleaner. There is more space, right? And each client gets their own towel and bottle of sanitation spray as they enter. It honestly just feels more like a high-end gym. And I am not mad about it. So we can't tell the future, but we know that those who innovate and adapt tend to survive. If nothing else, I hope that you are learning something about yourself during this time, which means that you can head into the future with more knowledge and insight. That is all I have for you today. If you found value here or you find value on the Fitzbro podcast, please head over to iTunes and give the show 5 stars and a written review. I choose a listener of the week and then a listener of the month from those, and that person will receive 50% off any non-membership program of mine, plus a freebie from Frey Skincare. And you can always use my code FDBA to save with them. If you are not on my main mailing list, Annie's Weekly Wrap, make sure that you are, because I also have exclusive podcast listener discounts at the bottom of every email. You can subscribe to that at anniemiller.co/news. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for listening to the Fitzpro Podcast.